Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 1, Chapter 5, Texts 1 through 4. So we'll do the first one together, responsibly. Sutra Vacha.
Sutra Vacha.
Atatam Sukam Asina. Upasinam Brihashrava. Deva Shipra Viprasin.
Deva Shipra Viprasin.
Vina Panis Mayan Iva.
Vina Panis Mayan Iva.
Sutaruvacha.
Sutaruvacha.
Atatam Sukam Asina.
Atatam Sukam Asina.
Upasinam Brihachav. Shrabaha. Devashi Pravi Prashim.
Devashi Pravi Prashim.
Vina Pani Smayaniva.
Vina Pani Smayaniva.
Sutruvacha.
Sutruvacha.
Atatam Sukam Asina. Upasinam Brihashravaha.
Upasinam Brihashravaha.
Devashi Praviprasam.
Devashi Praviprasam.
Vinapani Smayan Iva.
Vinapani Smayan Iva.
Sutuvacha.
Sutuvacha.
Aptatam Sukham Asina.
Aptatam Sukham Asina.
Upasinam
Sutta.
Sutta.
Sutta. Uvacha. Said. Atta.
Therefore.
Tam.
Him.
Sukham Asina.
Comfortably seated.
Upasinam.
Unto one sitting nearby.
Brihachrava.
Greatly respected.
Devashi,
Devashi,
the great Rishi among the gods.
The great Rishi among the gods.
Praha
said,
Viprasham,
unto the Rishi among the Brahmins.
Vina Pani,
Vina Pani,
One who carries the Veena in his hand. Smayaniva. Apparently smiling. Translation. Sutta Goswami said, thus the sage amongst the gods, Narada, comfortably seated and apparently smiling, addressed the rishi amongst the Brahmins, Vedavyas, purport by Srila Prabhupada. Narada was smiling because he well knew the great sage Vedavyas and the cause of his disappointment. As he will explain gradually, Vyasadeva's disappointment was due to insufficiency in presenting the science of devotional service. Narada knew the defect, and it was confirmed by the position of Vyas. So we'll do the other three slokas in unison all together. Narada uvacha prarasaya mahabhaga bhavata chachudatmana harikushyati sarira atma manasa evava. Okay, translation. Addressing Vyasadeva, the son of Parashara, Narada inquired, are you satisfied by identifying with the body or the mind as objects of self-realization? Purport. This was a hint by Narada to Vyasadeva regarding the cause of his despondency. Vyasadeva, as the descendant of Parashara, a greatly powerful sage, had the privilege of having a great parentage, which should not have given Vyasadeva cause for despondency. Being a great son of a great father, he should not have identified the self with the body or the mind. Ordinary men with a poor fund of knowledge can identify the body as self or the mind as self, but Vyasadeva should not have done so. One cannot be cheerful by nature unless one is factually seated in self-realization, which is transcendental to the material body and mind. Text number three. Everyone. Chikna sitam sumatthanam apite maharabhutam kritavam bhartam yasam sarvata paribhumhitam. Your inquiries were full and your studies were also well fulfilled, and there is no doubt that you have prepared a great and wonderful work, the Mahabharata, which is full of all kinds of Vedic sequences elaborately explained. Purport. The despondence of Vyasadeva was certainly not due to his lack of sufficient knowledge, because as a student he had fully inquired about the Vedic literatures, as a result of which the Mahabharata is compiled with full explanation of the Vedas. Text number four. Jigasitam aditam cha brahmayat tatsanatanam tatapi sochasyatmanam makrata eva kuro. You have fully delineated the subject of impersonal Brahman as well as the knowledge derived therefrom. Why should you be despondent in spite of all of this, thinking that you are undone, my dear Prabhu? Purport. The Vedanta Sutra or Brahma Sutra compiled by Sri Vyasadeva is the full deliberation of the impersonal absolute feature, and it is accepted as the most exalted philosophical exposition in the world. It covers the subject of eternity, and the methods are scholarly. So there cannot be any doubt about the transcendental scholarship of Vyasadeva. So why should he lament? So, Om Jnana Timranasya Gananjanan Shalakaya Chakshur Mritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So, here we have Vyasadeva not feeling satisfied because he has not described the wonderful glories of Krishna. So, Narada is joking with him that, you've already, are you somebody who hasn't realized that you're not the body? You've done a wonderful thing by writing the Vedas, the Mahabharata, The Mahabharata is a wonderful book, but at the same time, it's blood and thunder and romance. It's not really, well, it was written for sudras. So basically, it doesn't really satisfy Vyasadeva to write that book. So therefore, Narada Muni is joking. Sometimes the spiritual master jokes with the disciple. And we had the instance of Srila Prabhupada joking with one of his disciples. Can't remember his name. He was joking about the fact that they hadn't gone to the moon. And this disciple, he couldn't get over the fact that they hadn't gone to the moon. And Prabhupada was teasing him and saying, oh, he doesn't believe we haven't gone to the moon. Anyway, this devotee was quite disturbed about it, actually. But sometimes the spiritual master, he jokes with the disciple, especially to show up the deficiencies of the disciple. But here, of course, Narada Muni, he is smiling because he knows that he has the answer. He has the answer for Vyasadeva's despondency, and he wants to enlighten him, and he wants to give him the topmost knowledge. Because Vyasadeva, he is sad, he's upset, like anybody in the material world would be. He's already explained that if you're identifying with your body, we see that in this material world, that everybody is identifying with the body or the mind, and nobody is happy. So this is confirmed by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Abrahma bhuvana loka puna abhitana arjuna mamu pacha puna janma naiti mam eti surajana. From the highest planet down to the lowest, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode never takes birth again. So the material world is a place of misery, so who could be happy here? It's a horrible place. I went to this music festival last weekend. It was so hellish. People pay $1,000. They work in some restaurant. A lot of people are servers, if you know what that means. They serve food and drinks and stuff. There's a lot of servers. Seem to be more servers than served. But anyway, the people there, they're nice people. And they're all trying to find some enjoyment. But they listen to this music, and it's hard to describe how crazy this music is. It's just so loud, and it's insane music. They don't even sing any words, no poetry. It's crazy, and they all walk around half naked, even though it's cold, and they're all intoxicated, and they stay up all night, and they're trying to eke out a tiny bit of pleasure from this crazy situation. So, but it's a really good place for preaching. So we even had one girl. One devotee met her at this festival. She came here yesterday. Now she's moved into the Krishna house. Very nice girl called Kelly. But, you know, people, they try anything, like Prabhupada said, throw your hands in the air, throw your legs in the air. Do something different. Do something new for enjoyment. So that is the Kali Yuga. It's all about trying to find something different, something that no one's done before for enjoyment. So to do that, you try all kinds of crazy things. But nobody's happy. So when they get a book, they're very grateful. I met so many nice people, and they were so grateful because basically they have a horrible life. Most of these people, they work in horrible jobs. And to escape this boredom, They go to these crazy festivals. They spend a lot of money. They come from New York or New Jersey or wherever. And, you know, they're trying to find some pleasure in just because it's different. But it's so mundane. It's so unsatisfying. But, you know, we're so lucky because we have Krishna consciousness. And, you know, Krishna is so lovable. And when you know who Krishna is, or you understand something about Krishna, you realize that nobody and nothing in the material world means anything without Krishna. So Krishna himself, he doesn't really understand how wonderful he is. There's a very nice book, the Chaitanya Mangala, which used to be called the Chaitanya Bhagavat, but they changed the name because there's another Chaitanya Bhagavat written by Vrindavan Das Thakur. So the Chaitanya Mangala is a beautiful book, and it describes how Narada Muni, he went to Vaikuntha, and he visited Krishna. He went to Dwaraka. He visited Krishna in his palace. And Rukmini was massaging Krishna's feet. And she was crying uncontrollably. And Krishna was asking her, "Why are you crying?" And she said, "You wouldn't understand because you don't know what how beautiful your lotus feet are." And that he said, "Is it because, you know, I was joking with you, and I said I was going to leave you, and why did you marry me? Because I'm just the son of a Vaishya, and I've done so many bad things." And she said, "No, it's none of those things. You don't realize how it breaks my heart when you leave here. You cannot understand that. You can understand everything." So then, that's why Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya, to feel the separation from Krishna. So, without describing Krishna, Vyasadeva wasn't satisfied. So it's the same with devotees, that we have to hear about Krishna and we have to describe Krishna. This is a very important part of Krishna consciousness. But Srila Prabhupada created a wonderful movement that everybody who is involved in any way in Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON movement is actually involved in trying to describe Krishna to the general public. Because everything about ISKCON is supposed to be revolutionary wonderful. So whether you're training the oxen or cleaning the temple, it's all revolutionary. It's all amazing because it's what is going to change society. It's the only thing that's going to make this world sane is to live as devotees of Krishna. So we are trying to organize a movement based on Srila Prabhupada's instructions, which Prabhupada so much wanted to change society because he knew that nobody can be happy without Krishna. So we have this conviction, and therefore we try to cooperate together and work together to teach children, to dress the deities, to clean the temple, whatever it is. We're trying to make ISKCON an ideal society, so that people can see this is the way to live. Because most people aren't very philosophical, even if we've distributed millions of books, but unfortunately not many people really read the books. As far as we know, a few people read them, a few people become devotees. So we have to have many different angles of preaching so that we can convince people. Because without Krishna, they have nothing. So Krishna is described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, beautiful book, how after visiting all the great personalities described in the Vedas, like the Pandavas, Hanuman, Prahlad Maharaj, ultimately it comes down to the fact that after even going after Gopakumar, the hero of the book, he goes to the Brahmajyoti, he goes to Vaikuntha, he goes to the heavenly planets. Even in Vaikuntha, he meets Lord Narayan, and Lord Narayan is so beautiful and so kind, and he says, where have you been so long? I've been waiting for you to come back here to my abode for so many lifetimes. And now that you've come, I'm so happy. I couldn't contravene the laws of karma that I put into motion, so you couldn't come back any sooner. I've like a fool, I was thinking in this lifetime you will come, in the next lifetime you will come. But finally you've come and I'm so happy. And that was just in Vaikuntha. And then, you know, he goes on and he finally comes to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, of course, you know, we are trying to go to Vrindavan one day, one lifetime. And in Vrindavan, all his desires are fulfilled, because that is the topmost place. Just like the conversation between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they talked about many different things. And Lord Chaitanya was asking Ramananda Roy different questions. You know, what is the highest achievement? What is the highest goal of life? And they were going back and forth, and Ramananda Roy was explaining, you know, it's to fulfill your duties perfectly in the Varnashram system, to be a perfect, to ultimately go through the Varnashram system, become a sannyasi, and then he says, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati Kriyatam Yadi Kuta Api Labhyate Tatra Lavayam Api Muryam Mekalam Jamakoti Sukrita Nalabhyate. Pure devotional service and Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. It can be attained only by paying one price. That is intense greed to obtain it. It is available, if it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So then he goes on to explain how devotional service in one of the five rasas is the ultimate goal of life. And then he goes on and he comes to the point that devotional service in conjugal love is the highest, because it's like, you know, earth contains all the material elements. And so conjugal relationships with Krishna contain all the other types of devotional service, sakyaras, dasyaras, sakyaras, all of them. So this kind of devotion to Krishna that the gopis have, this is the highest achievement. But even Uddhava, not Uddhava, Akrura is considered to be very cruel, because he took Krishna away from the gopis. But he made a beautiful prayer. When Krishna went to see him, he said, Kapandadistvat aparam samaram samiyat Bhakta Priya Pita. Anyway, he said, I used to know it. But as you get old, your memory goes. Even Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he had a perfect memory, but when he got old, he had to get prompted to learn to know some of the slokas. So this is a nice sloka, and it means, my dear Krishna, what learned person could possibly forsake you for anything else? You are such a kind and affectionate friend to your devotee that you give yourself fully to them. And even by such activity, you do not diminish yourself. So you remain full, but who could give you up? And there's a similar verse by Uddhava. Who would ever give you up for anything else? So this is the realization that devotees have, that once you contact Krishna consciousness, once you learn about Krishna, you can't go anywhere else. Of course, some devotees go somewhere else because maybe they don't really read enough about Krishna, they don't hear enough about Krishna. It's just like Prabhupada said, that he's written so many books, and that if you don't read all of his books, then you will leave Krishna consciousness. Because he said it's like somebody who does not eat enough grains, they become very weak. So food for a devotee is knowledge. That we have, of course, we like to eat nice prasadam. But like Lord Chaitanya said, I've quoted this before, you may have heard it from me before, but it's a very nice verse Lord Chaitanya quotes from the Shantipava. He says that patience is my father, forgiveness is my mother, kindness is my sister, control of the mind is my brother, nectarian knowledge is my food, the 10 directions are my clothing, and the earth is my bed. So nectarian knowledge is the food for a devotee, that we have so much knowledge. Of course, we have so many other things to do. We can't just sit and read. Prabhupada didn't just sit and read. He could have just sat and read. There's so many books to read. But he didn't. He came out and he preached, because actually, according to Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, that to the extent that we preach, that's how much we actually develop love for Krishna. So we have to preach in whatever way we can, by training children or whatever we do, going on Harinam, distributing books. And so all these wonderful literatures are there, and they're very mind-blowing, just like the, of course that's not really a Vedic term, mind-blowing, but they're very astounding, we could say. The description of Govardhan, the gopas are actually glorifying Govardhan as the best devotee, because Govardhan fulfills all of Krishna's desires. Govardhan provides wonderful water, nice grazing land for the cows, beautiful caves with amazing jewels and arrangements for enjoyment. Everything. Beautiful flowers, creepers, and then the gopas, they're glorifying the clouds. And the clouds, you know, they shelter Krishna from the sun. And this one particular cloud, apparently, in the commentary by Sanatana Goswami of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, that sprinkles fine drops of rain on Krishna to keep him cool, but also some beautiful flowers. So these descriptions of Krishna and his activities and pastimes and his devotees actually satisfy the mind. The mind is very hard to satisfy. But by hearing about Krishna, in the conversation between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, what is the most terrible thing? Is not to hear about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Not to hear about Krishna. That is the most terrible thing. So, in the material world, we see that people are bereft of the opportunity to hear about Radha and Krishna. They hear about Brad Pitt and so many mundane people, and they worship them, but devotees are so fortunate that we hear about Krishna, and Vyasadeva is feeling dissatisfied because he hasn't described Krishna. So I think it's the same with devotees, that the more we try to describe Krishna to others, the more we feel satisfied. So we have to try to follow Vyasadeva's example. When he started to describe Krishna, he felt happy. So I'll finish here. Hare Krishna. Any comments, reflections?
I think later on it will say that, because Vyasadeva did say that he did mention in Padma Purana.
He did what?
He mentioned about Krishna's pastimes and difference
here. In the 10th canto?
No. In
here?
This chapter, after a few slokas. But Narad Muni is correcting him that proportion to dharma, artha, kama, moksha, you did not glorify. You glorify very little, and dharma, artha, kama, moksha, you gave so much.
Yeah.
Just like in Mahabharata, I was talking to Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Mahabharata, we see the focus was Pandavas inviting Jarasandha. But in Bhagavatam, when we see that similar Mahabharata reference is there, Krishna is the focus. Mm-hmm. So in Mahabharata, Krishna is not the focus.
Right.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
And we look at it, yeah, it's so true. That's why it was like a big difference.
I read that Prabhupada wanted to translate the Mahabharata. I guess he was trying to appeal to everybody. Yeah, this verse, it says, Narada Muni says, you have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of God, and that philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. Although great sage, you have very kindly, very broadly described the four principles beginning with religious performances, you have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality of Vasudeva. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. Krishna Bhajan.
You said that not reading Prabhupada's books.
Prabhupada said that.
Prabhupada said that. But is there more like, what about committing offenses, being offensive to devotees? Well, that makes somebody lose the association of devotees.
Well, that's another problem, too. Well, Prabhupada says that if you don't study the books, you don't know how to discriminate between one level of devotee and another. So therefore, you commit offenses to advanced devotees because you can't discriminate, because you haven't studied the books. So, you know, you get much more sinful, bad reaction for offending an advanced devotee than a neophyte devotee. But But if you don't know who an advanced devotee is, not that I do, but you know, you hear them speak or they write, and you know, this is an advanced devotee. Brian.
I was thinking also that I think it's 30 or 31 or 32 previous chapter, just last week we did study. Prabhupada in the purport put that in one sense, Vyasadeva is the incarnation of Krishna. Nagaraj Prabhu even stated last Friday, today is Monday, yeah, last Friday, Thursday or Friday, anyway, he says that Jiva Goswami Pad says this Vyasadeva is Vishnu Tattva. So it's even more kind of like, how is possible he will be not satisfied? So Prabhupada put, I found that answer convinced me in the purport, Prabhupada put that Vyasadeva is actually, this is a Krishna inspired from within to put him into this situation. So he is acting in that platform. In one sense, his incarnation means he knows everything. But he's acting as if somebody don't glorify Krishna, he will be depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice.
Like Arjuna in the Mahabharata, yes. In the Bhagavad Gita. Any ladies like the same thing? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Hare Krishna.